free at last. It must have been an absolutely exhilarating feeling. Have you ever felt freed from something? You can do what you want now. You can go where you want. You can be what you want. Pharaoh's army was destroyed. And finally the people were leaving Egypt, and they were on their way to the land of promise. God had proven himself to be faithful. They had even walked on dry land through what had been a bubbling cauldron of sea and water. What an incredible feeling. And so we read in Exodus 15 that they sang a song of praise to God. The events described in Exodus 14 and 15 are very much like our lives, the Christian life. Because surely you've had your Red Sea experiences. I know that I have. But there's nothing like coming to know Christ. There's nothing like knowing that you are set free from something. There's nothing like singing a song of praise that God has given you as you pass through life's experiences. But into every life, some rain must fall, right? Into every life, there are those wilderness experiences. And someone here this morning knows what I'm talking about, because perhaps right now, even as you sit here this morning, you're going through your own wilderness experience. I've asked myself at times, why does God permit wilderness experiences? Why do they happen? I mean, God could have taken Israel even miraculously straight from Egypt to the promised land. He could have done it. He didn't have to lead them in circles through the wilderness for some 40 years. I mean, this is the God that was able to part the waters. Anyone who can part the waters can do anything. Deuteronomy 8, starting at the first verse. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Wilderness experiences stretch our spiritual muscles. Ellen White wrote this. She said, "The Lord permitted difficulties to surround them, and their supply of food to be cut short, that their hearts might turn to him who had hitherto been their deliverer. But it was necessary for them to encounter difficulties and to endure privations. God was bringing them from a state of degradation and fitting them to occupy an honorable place among the nations and to receive important and sacred trusts. The history of the wilderness life of Israel was chronicled for the benefit of the Israel of God to the close of time." Patriarchs and Prophets, page 292. So I would encourage you to review and study the wilderness experience, because it is good for us all the way until the end of time. There was a cycle to the wilderness experience. For 40 years, the children of Israel went through various cycles of events. And so let's take a look at the cycle. First thing in the cycle is abundance. And when things are abundant, this is where the people of God look up. God proves himself to be faithful time and time again. And you'll find this when you read Exodus 15 in the first part of that chapter. Israel sings praises and they shout. And they're rejoicing because he's taken them through the Red Sea. And then there's a period of expectation. And it's when you have it good and you kind of keep, you kind of expect the good times to keep on rolling. Have you ever felt like that? Things are going good? And maybe they'll just keep on going good for me. Pretty soon you believe that abundance is your entitlement. And when Israel left the Red Sea, they expected the good times to keep on rolling. Do you expect abundance without end? And then there's disappointment. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. That was abundance. They went into the desert of Shur. That was a time of expectation. But then they went for several days without finding water, and that was a time of disappointment in their lives. And then, once they're disappointed, they begin to complain. The Bible says in Exodus 15:24, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" How quickly we forget the God that has provided us with abundance. We complain when we look down, take our eyes off the Lord. We complain when we look back and think about what once was. Have you been to Marah in your life experience? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're thinking, life hasn't been fair to me. Maybe things aren't working out the way that you dreamed or planned or hoped for them to work out in your life. Maybe you've faced personally devastating experiences, death, divorce, destroying illness, delinquent children, debt. You name it, you've been to that place of bitterness. Fifth stop in the wilderness cycle of life, I call provision. Some people call it grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, the gift that you get when you don't deserve it. Exodus 15:25, New International Version. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. If you are in the wilderness right now, it's not by chance. Because God uses wilderness experiences to grow us. He'll use wilderness experiences to help you drop the weights that are keeping you from going into the land of milk and honey. Pay careful attention. Exodus 15, the 26th verse. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." God's saying, you know, if you obey me, I'll look out for you. If you obey me, I'll protect you. You'll be tested, but I will step in on time. As I was studying, I heard the psalmist say, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread." God does not forsake us. And so in abundance, we look up. In expectation, we look ahead. In disappointment, we look down. In complaining, we look back. And when God is providing, we look around. So they left Marah and they journeyed on to Elim. And Elim was an oasis in the desert. There are three ways to lose the things that keep us out of the kingdom. Make note of these. The first is the test of time. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. So that's some 43 to 45 days, perhaps, since they've left Egypt. It only took 3 days to find water the first time, but now they've been in the wilderness for a month and a half. And after the oasis at Elim, they thought they were through with the wilderness experience, but God takes them back into the desert. Scripture says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." I'm not going to lie to you. The trials of life hurt. They're painful. But there's something about the human experience. There's something about us that makes it possible sometimes to only get us to listen and grow and learn when we are tried. And so the test of time is one of the tools God uses to make us right for His present and future kingdom. You see, when we're in the wilderness, we have to learn to wait on the Lord. We have to learn to wait for Him. We have to wait on the shores of the Red Sea and wait while God interposes His Holy Spirit, or His Holy Self, rather, between you and the enemy. We have to wait for God to open the waters and dry a path so that we can walk on through. The test of time is tough, it's hard, it's difficult, because we hate to wait. Then there's a test of hunger. "You've brought us out into this desert," the people said, "to starve this entire assembly to death." So many things I love about God. He's just too good for us and too good to us. Here the people are complaining, and even while they're complaining, God is already planning to deliver a blessing. Exodus 16, the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So God is already planning this deliverance. Are you a complainer? If you are, remember that God is the God of the wilderness. He is the God of abundance. He is the God of want. He is the God of hunger. But He is also the God of the full stomach. He's the God of the thirsty, and He is the God of those whose thirst is quenched. And when we're grumbling, it's against Him. I heard Paul say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And what's the rest of it? "And again I say, rejoice." I heard Paul shout from his prison cell, "We also rejoice in our sufferings." Has grumbling become a habit for you? Exodus 16, 13th verse. "That evening quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was." And so God provided for these people, and they still complained because He didn't give them what they wanted. Have you been there? Is that your experience? Numbers 11, starting at the 4th verse. "The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Are you like that? Do you find yourself saying, what's that on the ground? It's not what I want. For 40 years, God provided Israel with food from heaven. I mean, think about it. Daily, angels came through with 3 catered meals. Every day, that's 43,200 meals. It just wasn't what they wanted. Then there's thirst. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." When we grumble, when we complain in the middle of our wilderness experiences, our complaining and our quarreling is with God. If you're complaining, it's time to turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's time to do that. It's time, as the old hymn says, to look full in His wonderful face. And the hymn says that when we do that, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And in this story, in Exodus, in the face of grumbling and quarreling, God still acts. He provides water from a rock. Only God can do that. So there's some lessons for you to take home from the wilderness. First one, it takes humility to learn from your trials and tests. In Proverbs, the wise man wrote this. He said, "Don't even bother to beat a fool. He won't learn from the beating." And so I hope and pray that there are no fools here today. A fool is never humble, so a fool can't learn. And sadly, there might be some people here this morning who will have listened, and they'll read the text, and they'll go home and they'll keep on complaining. And God will have to keep dragging you back into the wilderness because He wants to save you and He wants you to listen. Another lesson from the wilderness. It takes concerted effort to break a daily habit. You know, you and I, we've lived in Egypt all of our lives. And so we walk like an Egyptian and we talk like an Egyptian and we eat like an Egyptian. And it may be that we even prefer slavery in Egypt to freedom in the wilderness. God got His people out of Egypt and He took them to the wilderness so that He could get Egypt out of His people. What does God need to excise? What does God need to remove from your life? Another lesson from the wilderness. It takes a heavenly habit, appetite, to enjoy heavenly food. It takes a heavenly appetite to enjoy heavenly food. If you like Egyptian or earthly food, you won't enjoy the kingdom diet. You see, sinners hate God's catering service. But I have to tell you this morning that the only place to get a kingdom of God appetite is from the King. And so if you want your appetites reshaped, submit to Him. Submit to His will. Submit to His way. Deep inner change. The change that we all need. Shedding weight gained in Egypt begins at the cross. It's at the cross where we can leave our burdens. It's at the cross where we leave our old appetites. It's at the cross where we leave our old habits. And so my appeal to you this morning is to come to the cross because He's waiting for you. This is your moment This is your time to say to the Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my all. That's my appeal. Give it all up to Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, each of us need to be self-surrendered every day. And so that's my prayer for myself this morning, Lord, and for all of your children, that daily we will surrender. That the theme of our lives will be, I surrender all. My prayer, Lord, is that you will keep on growing us, and that we will keep on listening and hearing your voice and submitting our lives to your will and your way. Bless us this day, Lord. Grow us today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.